Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Are you one of those people who see the world as a potential Instagram post, or do you have those people in your life and do they ever put down the camera? What about these ubiquitous camera phones and photo sharing platforms? Has it changed the way not only you experience life, but you experience memory and how you remember events? Call us up at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. There's a new study about photographing everything and how it kind of affects memory and replaces it in some cases. Joining us to discuss it is Emily Badger, a contributor to Atlantic Magazine's City section. She wrote about the phenomenon earlier this week. Welcome to WNYC, Emily.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So what's your philosophy? You go through life with a camera stuck to your eye or no?
I do. Because you always want to share whatever you're doing with your friends and people who aren't with you. It's just this sort of tempting, amazing little technology that we didn't have in the past that's just hard not to take advantage of now.
And so this a professor studied her students, put them through an art museum, and she found that the ones who were taking pictures of everything remembered – there are some exceptions we'll get into – but the ones taking pictures of everything remembered things less well than the ones who just observed. Does that comport with your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is absolutely true, that in many ways, taking photos of everything sort of detracts our attention from observing the world with our eyes. So it makes a lot of sense to me that technology is really sort of changing the way we interact with the world. It changes the way we walk down the street when we're constantly carrying phones. And we see this in a lot of other ways, too. I mean, digital maps, Google Maps, GPS sort of changes the way people get around, how they follow directions, how they know where to go. So it totally makes sense to me that this sort of as an extension of that and the photography realm, that constantly taking photos would change how we interact with the world, too.
The most Instagram cities in 2013, New York City, number one, and the most Instagrammed location in New York City, which is the second most in the world, is Times Square, New York. And if you've ever been behind people taking pictures in Times Square, you know that to be true. Thailand is also that Thailand's the most Bangkok, Thailand's the most Instagram city. And the huge shopping mall in Bangkok, Thailand is actually the most Instagram location of 2013. So Instagram is not just the phenomenon of taking pictures. It's the sharing of the pictures with other people. Now, do you think maybe that aids memory? Because as you go through the photos, you want to, you, of course, are not only prompted to remember them, but you want to somehow cultivate them. And so maybe can not only bring back memories, but can heighten the experience.
Yeah, I think part of what's going on here is that people are sort of outsourcing their memories to these little devices. You know, I walk down the street and I think, if I photograph Times Square, I don't have to pay a whole lot of attention to the details because the photograph is going to remember all of those things for me. But, of course, this only sort of really works for us in the long run if we go back and look at that picture. I think, absolutely, if you take lots of pictures and you go back and look at them and you share them with your friends and look at them with your friends, you're likely to sort of tap back into and retrieve those memories. But if what you're primarily doing is photographing things and sticking them on an Instagram feed to sort of show off to all of your friends and you don't actually go back and look at them, in a sense, you've sort of outsourced your memories to this device but never actually gone back in order to kind of re-access them.
You know, when I was, 13 and 14, I went to a couple of college prep programs or whatever you would call it, like a summer camp at a college. And I was recently looking through some photo album. That was a thing that existed. And, I remembered some of the people that I took pictures of, and I could not for the life of me remember any of the people. There were one or two that I remembered as being good friends of mine, but since I didn't have a picture of them, I had much more trouble accessing memories about them than the ones that I did have pictures of. I mean, I think for a long time, that's one of the way that pictures were used, as when used selectively, as a prompt for cherished memories.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. The question now, though, is when people are taking Instagram photos as they walk down the street, is every little thing really sort of a cherished memory?
Yes.
Or are we photographing so many more things now than we used to simply because we think this puddle of water in the street is going to look very sort of artistic when all of my friends see it in my Instagram feed?
Well,
different sort of idea of what we want to photograph than what we might have photographed in the past simply because it's so ubiquitous as a technology.
Well, I know the puddle you're talking about. It does look a lot like Nixon, so I take exception to that. Faith from Clifton, New Jersey. Hello, Faith. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Not the afternoon.
Great.
Yet, but go ahead.
Same here. Okay, so my response to this is I'm glad it's a great topic. I refuse to take pictures. I regret not taking them and not having them, but I refuse to take them because I don't like the feeling of holding a camera and having it against my eyes all the time. It's very uncomfortable, and I like to see things live.
Right. So have you strategized a way? It seems like there is maybe a medium. No, you haven't figured it out.
No, I can't figure it out.
Emily, got any advice for Faith?
Well, you know, I think there's also something to be said about walking down the street when everyone else around you is also doing this. I mean, it really kind of changes the way that we sort of interact with other people in public space when we're all sort of separately engaged in having these little phones pressed to our faces, as she just mentioned. I mean, you're not looking at other people and making eye contact with other people when what you're doing is staring into the back of your cell phone.
Yeah, and right? I was on the subway, and thanks a lot for the call, Faith. I was on the subway, and there were some great subway performers, and, you know, 15 people were taking picture, Instagram, or actually probably video of these guys. And I was thinking to myself, look, if you want to specifically get off this subway and show a friend within the next 2 days, that's a good use of your time. But A, you're probably not enjoying them as much as you could be, and B, what, you don't think on YouTube they have better video than the one you shot of these very guys? Just know that the whole world is doing this and be smart about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that absolutely taps into the idea of are you really sort of observing something in the moment, or are you preoccupied with recording it for some kind of future time when you may or may not actually be going back to look at it?
Yeah, we always are. Our future selves and our imagined selves are always a little bit different from reality. They're, you know, we put a lot of optimism into how much time we think we're going to have and what we think we're going to do. Ken from Brooklyn. Hello, Ken. You're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Go ahead.
So I did a project that actually preceded the ubiquity of the smartphone camera, but it was, you know, before everyone had a camera.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point was I photographed everything that I ate for a year, about 8 or 9 years ago. And in fact, when I look at the imagery, I turned it into a big video. I'm an artist. But when I look at the imagery of everything that I ate, it actually helped me piece together every single day from that year. So it's sort of contrary to what you guys are saying. It actually helped me with my memory of that time.
How did it affect your diet?
It was actually, when you look at everything you eat, it makes you feel very, very vulnerable. It was pretty grotesque. It affected it well. I eat more healthily now.
Good job. Thanks a lot for that, Ken. Let's go to Erin in Brooklyn. Erin, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Go right ahead.
Well, I wanted to share that I got married last year, and my husband and I eloped to Big Sur, and we were just the two of us and an officiant, and we had a debate, my husband and I, about whether we would hire a photographer, and he really wanted to, and I was not so sure because of this idea that photographs really shape your memory of an event and seem to really shave off a lot of important experience and feeling. And in the end, we did hire a photographer, and I'm happy because he wanted to. But now I only have about 2 photos in our house, and I don't look at any of the rest because I just prefer to remember it and how I felt, and we were really, really, really in that moment, and I don't need the photographs.
Yeah. Wow, that's an interesting take on it. What do you think, Emily? I think that photographs at a wedding kind of sometimes even dictate the entire schedule of the wedding. It's a you know, staged for photograph event that happens to include a rabbi or a priest or a justice of the peace.
Yeah, I mean, one of the points that she just brought up that this reminds me of is that I think that the study sort of might lead us to draw separate conclusions about people who are professional photographers and who are professionally photographing events and sort of all of the rest of us who are just amateurs who happen to have phones in our pockets now. And that's the specifics of the study. What they were doing is they were leading some undergraduate students through an art gallery looking at different art objects, photographing some of them, just observing some of them. And so what we're talking here about sort of amateur photographers who just happen to have a camera stuck in their hand and the idea that, you know, they're not really paying attention to the object when they're paying attention to trying to photograph the object. But since I wrote about this earlier this week, I heard from a couple of people who are much more serious photographers who say they experience the exact opposite thing, and that's that carrying a camera sort of forces them to pay much more attention to the world around them because they're always kind of looking for something that might be a moment that should be photographed in a really sort of thoughtful sense. And so I think, you know, that's a little bit different from how the rest of us are treating photography now that this technology is so easily accessible and we're all carrying it around. So I suspect that it's different when you're the subject of the photo, as in a wedding, but it's also different when you have an actual professional photographer there who's recording your memories for you.
Or, as you're saying this, I'm going to take it to the realm of audio. So I'm an audio guy, and when I have my microphone out on the field, in the field, there's this heightened sense of, even if I'm just going to or from an event, I know if I have my microphone, this heightened sense of let's observe the world. The world becomes something other than the background, right? It sort of foregrounds the world for you. It becomes a potential canvas, and you focus a little more. And I'm only talking about, you know, the audio aspects of it. And by the way, when I go back and listen to the audio, I always hear conversations differently from what my perception was at the time. And that's a really useful thing that I get out of my recordings.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely sort of a perfect analogy for what happens with photography. And this sort of suggests to me there's this notion that everyone is a photographer now that we all have smartphones. But this sort of difference in how phones enable us to observe the world sort of suggests that, no, there's still a pretty big difference between people who are amateur photographers and professional photographers as far as how we sort of relate to the world around us and see images in that world.
Well, speaking of the experience of professional photographers, I think Chris in Nyack is one. Is that right, Chris? Hi, Chris.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
I am a professional photographer, and I have to agree with Ken in Brooklyn a little bit, which is that since going digital, I've shot some 300,000 pictures. And when I go look at shoots, I realize I remember every picture I've taken. I don't participate in the Flickr or the online recording of daily life that we're talking about. But I do find my memory works in a different way. And I'm always a little shocked that I can go back from something years ago and go and say, oh, geez, look, I wish I'd – oh, look, I did do that. Oh, I did notice something behind her head. Oh, I did tell them to turn. And it surprises me because I don't remember real life that way, but – I think when I'm working and shooting, I guess I'm accessing a different area of my brain that I really do remember every time I push the button.
And how has it changed since the difference between digital and film stock, now that there's just no cost to shooting absolutely as many pictures as you can?
Well, exactly. That's the key. One of the key differences people don't know about digital is that because it's free, we shoot, routinely when I do a headshot now, I will shoot 1,000 pictures, which I never would have done with film because it used to cost a dollar every time I pushed a button. And now that, that 300,000 or so pictures on my hard drives, I definitely would not have shot if I was talking about film, whether it's shooting for stock or shooting portraits or whatever. The fact is you can push the button and lean on it and shoot lots more pictures, and you're only still going for the one perfect one, but you can take a lot of terrible ones in between.
I know we always have nostalgia for the old technology, but do you feel that going digital has taken some of the craft out of photography?
Well, it's changed the – that's sort of a discussion for a different day,
I think.
But it has clearly changed the – craft of photography, but what I like and what we're talking about a little bit to bring it around to what we're talking about now is the way I have everything, for example, watching my kids grow up, and everything's in one place and everything is dated, and I can go back and look and I can pull out a smart album of just my daughters and boom, there's everything. And, oh, there they are at the fifth birthday party. Oh, there they are at the sixth birthday party. Whereas I am fairly organized and I have all my negatives and chromes and everything, I've shot down in the basement, but there and about 20 linear feet of notebooks that I would have to go through and pull out and figure out, and they're not all entirely organized. So
right.
The whole metadata thing, in particular with dates, is a really useful, interesting way to document one's life.
Thank you, Chris, and I think that's going to be a big change. The kids of today will realize that they weren't just dressed in hideous sweaters for the Sears portrait shoot, but they wore those hideous sweaters all the time. And I also want to mention that the Brian Lehrer Show does an annual year-end project where they ask you to send in the best picture from the year that you still have in your phone. Stay tuned for next week when they launch it. It is pretty cool. And Emily Badger, who wrote about the phenomenon for The Atlantic and is a contributor to Atlantic Cities. Emily, thank you very much. That was a really excellent discussion.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So I hope everyone recorded that and maybe uploaded it to Vine. We'll all be reviewing them later and realizing that the discussion that we had today was much more educational and erudite than we thought at the time. We were just trying to avoid people in traffic. Thanks for listening.